If you enjoy these episodes, please consider donating to help keep this podcast going by clicking on the link in the description of this episode. Also, please give the podcast a 5-star rating and share it with your friends and family. Monday, April 7th. The lesson from Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. In those days, the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Set out for the great city of Nineveh and announce to it the message that I will tell you. So Jonah made ready and went to Nineveh according to the Lord's bidding. Now Nineveh was an enormously large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began his journey through the city and had gone but a single's day walk, announcing, 40 days more and Nineveh shall be destroyed. When the people of Nineveh believed God, they proclaimed a fast, and all of them, great and small, put on sackcloth. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in the ashes. Then he had this proclaimed throughout Nineveh by decree of the king and his nobles, "Neither man nor beast, neither cattle nor sheep shall taste anything. They shall not eat, nor shall they drink water. Man and beast shall be covered with sackcloth and call loudly to God. Every man shall turn from his evil way and from violence he has in hand. Who knows? God may relent and forgive and withhold his blazing wrath, so that we shall not perish." And God saw by their actions how they turned from their evil ways, and the Lord our God had mercy upon his people. Haydock Commentary. By the computation of some ancient historians, Nineveh was about 50 miles round, so that to go through all the chief streets and public places was 3 days' journey. He records what Jonah said the first day, though he seems to have preached many even during 40 days, after which time he expected the city would fall, and therefore retired out of the walls. God's menaces here are conditional. If men repent, God will change his sentence. So say St. John Chrysostom and St. Gregory. The people of Nineveh were convinced that he had wrought such wonders in the person of Jonas with a desire of their welfare, particularly as he allowed them some delay. Accordingly, they did penance for about 40 days, and their conversion was so sincere that Christ uses it as an example to his disciples in Matthew 12:41. The king of Nineveh was Sardanapalus, or rather his father Full, whom Strabo calls Anaxandraxes, who died 4 years after he had invaded Palestine. See 2 Kings 15:19. The consent of all the princes of Nineveh was requisite to form an irrevocable edict. Even infants, according to the fathers, participated in this penance. St. Basil adds also the young of cattle. This was done to excite rational beings to repentance. When people are greatly moved by repentance, they exceed in austerity. God suspended the stroke, but as the people soon relapsed, Sardanapalus burnt himself to death and the city was taken, 37 years after Jeroboam. Yet this was only a prelude to its future ruin foretold by Tobias in chapter 14, verse 5, and affected by Nabopolassar and Astyages. The Gospel from John chapter 7, verses 32 through 39. At that time, the rulers and Pharisees sent attendants to seize Jesus. Jesus then said, "Yet a little while I am with you, and then I go to him who sent me. You will seek me and will not find me, and where I am, you cannot come." The Jews therefore said among themselves, "Where is he going that we shall not find him? Will he go to those dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? What is this statement that he has made, 'You will seek me and will not find me,' and 'Where I am, you cannot come'?" Now on the last, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture says, from within him there shall flow rivers of living waters." He said this, however, of the Spirit whom they who believed in him were to receive. Haydock Commentary. "Yet a little while and I am with you, and then I go and return to him that sent me, with whom I am always, but as man I shall leave the world." When he says, "You shall not find me," some understand it, "You shall wish me conversing with you, as at present, healing diseases, etc., but as I shall suffer death shortly, you shall not find me." Others expound it, "You shall seek for your Messiah, but not accepting me who am truly he, you shall not find your Messiah, and you cannot come to me in my kingdom of glory, because you will not believe in me." By the living water are signified the gifts of the Holy Ghost, which were promised to the faithful. The Holy Ghost is still received, but none speak with tongues, because the Church herself, being spread over the whole earth, speaks the languages of all, says St. Augustine. The primitive Christians of Corinth consulted St. Paul on the subject of these spiritual gifts or graces, frequently communicated in the sacraments of baptism and confirmation. In his epistle addressed to them, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he explains those gifts and complains that some among the Corinthians made not a right use of these gifts, especially those who had the gift of tongues and made use of it rather through vanity than for the profit of others.